First Chronicles chapter 14. I'm going to look at an episode of in David's life and see what we can learn from it. Maybe we might look over in chapter 21 for a minute. We'll see. Here in chapter 14 of First Chronicles, did I say second? It's First Chronicles 14. Verse 8 through 17 we'll read. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David, and David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand." So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, "God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand like the breaking forth of waters." Therefore they called the name of the place Baal Perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of them. Inquired again of God, and God said unto him, Go not up after them. Turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even unto Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'll bless it tonight. Help us to hear what your spirit would say. In your name we pray. Amen. We have here in this story, this is a story from the beginning of David's reign as king. We have just finished a very sad part of history in the history of Israel. The country has been overrun by Philistines. Saul and his sons have been killed. There's been a civil war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And there have been, there's been quite a bit of difficulty and trouble. And so we see, though, that we've come to this place in the history of Israel that David has been established king. And it said there in that verse, when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king. So this was a time of transition, a time when things were changing in Israel, and new leadership and new authority was in power. And so with new leadership, new with changes, there's going to be difficulties that are going to be experienced. And so we see here that the Philistines, when they heard of it, they said, "We're going to go up against David." They had been acquainted with David. They knew David's history and past as a great warrior. They probably, no doubt, said, "We've got to get control of this king, or else we're going to have trouble, because this will be a mighty king if we do not bring him under subjection to us." So their attitude was, "We've got to get him under our thumb. We've got to get him where we want him to be, or else he's going to be putting us under his thumb." And so we see here a battle of the flesh and the spirit, kind of, in this situation. When we give our life to the Lord, there's that the flesh wants to rise up. The flesh wants to come against the new leader of the spirit living in us, and the flesh will rise up against us. And so we see a picture of that in this situation. And so we see that David, in this early part of his reign, he does some things that are that are needful for us to notice. And the thing that I want to look at tonight is the idea that David inquired of God. He inquired of God. And he asked God. Now, David, like I said, the Philistines knew he was a great warrior. David had fought many battles. He had been there. It was a common thing for him. He was described as a man who a man of blood, that he had been in a lot of battles. He had fought a lot of wars, and he understood the strategies. He understood the means by which you fight and you win. And these things were things in David's life that were common to him. And so as he became king, it could have been that he might have decided, well, I'm king. I've been through battles. I've fought my way to get here. I know what I'm doing. But David didn't have that attitude. His attitude was not, I have arrived. I know how this needs to go. But David's perspective was, I need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. Oftentimes in our life, the common things in our life, we remove them from God's hand. To our own hurt and of our own neglect, we don't commit them to God. The common things, the things that we're used to doing, the things that we do that are normal, the things that we've been trained to do, those are things oftentimes that we do without bringing God into the equation. In David's situation, he was a man, he was a king, he was a soldier. He very well could have said, well, I know how to soldier without God. But he said, I'm not going to do that. In our life as well, in our various capacities that we serve and live in as individuals, we need to recognize that in every common situation of life, we need to be bringing it before God. Thank you for that amen, Logan. Thank you, Logan. If anybody's getting behind me, Logan is, praise the Lord. Some of the rest of you get to amening, and it'll get even better. In the common things of life, what are some of the things you do that are just, I know how to do it? Maybe it's family life. There are aspects of family life that we can do week in and week out, day in and day out, without committing it to God. Your work life. Your job, your career, the things you do. You know, we always, and I think you understand, we always know and we would say that the secular and the sacred are not two different things with a Christian. But do we live that way? Do we live that way? Or do we really compartmentalize our walk with God and say, well, this is a part of my life with God that I know what's happening. And I know how to make it. And I know how to get there. And instead of committing it to God, we do things on our own. How many times do we find ourselves, I find myself kind of in a strait, and all of a sudden I realize, you know what? I've not talked to God about this. I find myself in a difficult situation, and I say, I failed to bring the Lord along my side here. And David did not make that mistake here. But he said he inquired of the Lord. He wanted to hear from God. He wanted to put himself into the background. He wanted God to take the lead in every part of his life and of his kingdom. And so when this battle came, he inquired of God. He could have set a strategy. He could have organized his men. He would have known how to do it, but he didn't. He said, I've got to hear from God. And he inquired of God, and he asked God, shall I go up? You know, as Christians, it's our job to do that. It's our job to ask God. He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to come to Him and inquire of Him. He wants us to bring the little petty things and the big things. You know, we can pray about, Lord, what's your will for my life? And we can pray that prayer. But what about, Lord, what's your will for today? Lord, what's your will for this financial decision? Lord, what's your will in this aspect of my job and what I do at work? Do we commit those things to God? You know, in the school, I know how to do a lot of things over there. I know how to manage a class. I know how to prepare a lesson. I know how to do those kinds of things. But if I do it of my own power, it's just a work of the flesh. But if I do it in God's power, if I inquire of Him, but lots of times I fail to bring the common things to God. Lord, how should this schedule be arranged? Lord, what should be the arrangement of this class? Or Lord, how could this be different? I think we do ourselves a disadvantage when we do not rely on the infinite, omniscient, almighty God. And we rely on the arm of flesh. We do things in our own power and our own ability. And you know, I think about a simple construction. Grew up around it all my life. It's there. Asking God, Lord, how's this house supposed to be built? Lord, who do I need to put on that job? Even those simple things. God's not limited. We won't overload Him with the simple stuff. But we go through life making all kinds of decisions. And it's not necessarily that we're going to kneel down and pray every time about every little thing. But if we live with an attitude of asking God, Lord, is this Lord, Lord, Lord? And if we have that in our daily walk of everything we do, if we have a mindset, Lord, I'm dependent on You. Lord, I'm trusting You. Lord, I'm looking to You. God will not fail us. And He'll actually work in our lives to produce a far more than we could ever in our own selves. In the simple, common things of life. David was willing to listen. He was willing to ask God, and that's the first step of obedience, is asking God, Lord, what do I do? He had a desire to know. He had a desire and a dependence on God. When we don't ask, we're telling God we can make it on our own. When we don't bring it to Him, we're not expressing faith in Him. We're expressing faith in our own selves. And so it's important for us as Christians to live a life that is a life of asking, asking, asking. What did God tell Solomon? He told Solomon, ask of me, ask of me. Oh, wow, that's a big thing if God opens that door up that wide. Ask of me. It's for us to ask. God wants us to ask. He wants to see that we have a desire to hear from Him. He wants to see that we have a dependence upon Him. Because when we depend on Him, we have all the strength that we need at our supply. We have all the resources that we need at our supply when we ask of Him. David had to ask. The second thing he had to do was he had to listen. He had to listen. That's different than asking. He had to listen. Sometimes I've asked the Lord for help, and I just go on and do what's in my mind. Now, the Lord may not have had, he hadn't spoke anything yet, but I go ahead. I may ask, Lord, bless this day, but then I run my day all myself. I may ask, Lord, what do I need to do? But then I go and I figure it out on my own. David had to listen. Here in this chapter, he had two two instances where the battle rose up before him. In both instances, he asked, he inquired of God, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" He asked it again there in verse 14. He inquired again of God. And both times when he asked, he listened. The first time God told him, "Yes, go up. I'll deliver them into your hand." And when he did what God said, God gave him the victory. The second time that he asked, God told him something different. If he hadn't been listening, he'd have tried it the same way he did the first time. If he hadn't been listening, but he was listening. And God said, "Go not up after them. Turn away from them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." He asked, God answered, and David listened. He listened. Now, listening isn't just a mental ability of nerve and brain, but there's more to it. Jesus said, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit would say to the church." He talked about other times that having ears to hear, they don't comprehend. Listening has a little, is more than just whether or not your ears can hear the sound. Listening is that you hear it and you take it in and you use the information that's there. Sometimes you've probably gotten on to your kids before. You didn't listen. I told you to do this and this and this first. You didn't listen. Listening is not just hearing the words, but taking it in, comprehending. Listening involves for us surrender. If you're going to listen to somebody, you're going to surrender to them. If you listen as a child, if I listened to my parents, it involved surrendering to them, hearing their words and doing their words. I remember the one time that I was getting on to Seth about his inability to obey and to do what he was told, and I was asking him one time. I said, "Son, how come you're not doing what I tell you to do? How come you're not listening?" And he said, "Dad, it's because I can't see you. I can't see you because." If he didn't look at me and hear my and at the, focus on me, he was just being honest. If he wasn't focusing on me, he wasn't listening. And so listening involves a surrender, a willingness to surrender to what is there. You know, David submitted to God's plan. He didn't argue with it. He listened and submitted to God's plan. He didn't argue with it. He could have said, "Lord, the first time we went up and you told us to go up and that's the way it worked. Lord, wouldn't that be better?" No, the second time God said, "Don't go up, go over the other direction by the mulberry trees." And then God told him a little bit more. He said, "It shall be when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the top of the mulberry trees that then thou shalt go out to battle, for God is gone forth before thee." He had to listen. He had to listen and hear. He listened. He surrendered to what God said. He submitted to God's plan. And he didn't argue with the Lord. He said, "Lord, I trust you." You know, the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus and he asked. He asked, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" But he didn't listen. Because when Jesus said, "Got all these commandments? Oh yeah, I've done that. One thing you lack. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and take up your cross and follow me." But he didn't listen because he walked away. He didn't listen to what God was telling him to say. Oh, he came and he asked, he inquired, but the answer he heard he didn't like. He did not surrender to it. And he left it. Balaam, I've never understood that guy. He asked God, "Lord, can I go curse him?" And God said, "No, you can't." And he just kept asking the same question. He just kept asking the same question. Lord, can I go curse them? No, you can't. Lord, can I? No, you can't. Lord, can I go see, Balak? Can I go see the king? No, you can't. Lord, can I go? Yeah, go on. He didn't listen. And he paid for it with his life. He asked, and God spoke, but he didn't listen. Listening involves surrendering to what I've been told by God, submitting to his plan. Jehoshaphat was told to dig ditches in the valley. Doesn't make any bit of sense, but he listened, and he did it. He surrendered to God's plan. He surrendered to it. David had to ask. David had to listen. And then he had to act. He had to go do it. He finally had to do what God told him to do. He had to ask. He had to listen. And then he had to act. When God told him to go up, he went up. When God told him to wait by the mulberry trees, that's exactly what he did. He waited until he heard the sound of the going. Till they heard the sound of the moving in the trees. And that word, sometimes they mention, till you hear the marching in the trees. Till you hear the host of God that's marching out before you. And so David was willing to do it. He was willing to wait by the bushes and do what God called him to do. There's always, as that battle of flesh and spirit goes on, there's always that battle for obedience. That battle for obedience. The enemy would like for us to lose the battle by not asking. He'd like to get us in too big of a hurry to even bring God into the equation, and he does that. He would like to win that battle by getting us not to listen to God, he brings doubts about what God is saying, doubts about how God is leading. He brings doubts in our mind about whether God can accomplish what we're hearing that he says he wants to accomplish. And so he tries to bring those doubts. He'll try to defeat us at every level of this situation. He'll get us to not to ask. He'll try to get us to not to listen. And he'll try to get us to not obey and do what God has told us to do. But as we act, God begins to move. When David did what he told, God gave him a breakthrough. David asked, he listened, and he obeyed. And God gave him a breakthrough. In verse 11, it says that therefore they called the name of the place Baal Perazim, because God broke forth upon his enemies. When he was willing to ask, he was willing to listen, and he was willing to obey. Jehoshaphat, when he was told to move forward with the singers ahead of him, God gave him the victory. When Joshua was told to march around the walls of Jericho, he did it. It didn't seem like it was the natural thing to do to win a battle over a great city. But obedience to God always brings his power. Obedience to God always brings his power. There was a host in the trees that went before David. The walls fell down as Joshua obeyed and the people obeyed. As the priests stepped forward and stepped into the Jordan, the water rolled back. As we do what God tells us to do, he does the miraculous. He does the miraculous. His power is always evidenced when we obey and listen to God. His presence shows up. David here has these opportunities to learn and to do and to see about following God. But I want to look at one other situation in David's life, just a couple chapters over in chapter 21. And David's always been mysterious to me, as he had some really big highs and he had some really big lows. And in chapter 21 of 1 Chronicles, And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. So David's doing something here, and you don't see anything in these verses that he asked God about what he ought to do. See, he's king. He knows how to run a kingdom. He's going to take a census. He calls Joab to do it. Verse 3, and Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Here was a situation where David didn't ask. David didn't listen. He didn't listen to Joab or anyone else who was giving him advice. And he did not do what God wanted him to do in that situation. Here we see a failure in his life. It looks like he would have learned the lesson way back then, but we see the battle for obedience is continual in the life of a believer. Enemy is always trying to get us to lean on the arm of the flesh. If he can get us to lean on ourselves and do our own thing, he knows he has advantage over us. He knows that he's, and so we know this episode here in verse chapter 21, we know that God's judgment comes. Pestilence comes. 70,000 men die because of the sin that David committed in his kingdom here. And there was great judgment, and David was brought again to a place of repentance as he had been before. But that lesson of obedience, that lesson of asking and listening and obeying, it's always going to be there. When we think we've arrived, that's when we're losing out again. When we think we've arrived. When we think we can go one step without the Lord, that's when we're going backwards. David knew. He learned the lesson early on. Trust in God. Ask God. Listen to God. Obey God. But as time went on, that battle for obedience, the battle for obedience never leaves us. It's something we have to contend with. Through every phase of our life, every situation of our life, we have to be people that live in continual humility before God, asking Him, depending on Him, continual surrender to God, listening to Him, hearing what He says, and continual obedience to God, doing what He's asked us to do. It's got to be a day by day thing. The enemy is always going to be trying to push in. It said Satan stood up against him, provoked him. And if we're not careful, we can be saved 70 years and still find ourselves leaning on our own self, trusting in our own self. The enemy can work his way in to get us to lose our faith, to do our own thing, away from what God wants. And when we do that, we see ourselves in the same situation that David was in. We find ourselves under judgment. We find ourselves in peril. But when we daily live by the idea of asking, listening, and obeying, we know God's presence is going to be with us. He won't fail us. He won't fail us. If we're asking, listening, and obeying, He will not let us down. We will not be left on our own. We will find His presence will be with us. His presence will go with us. And we as Christians need to always have that mindset. Lord, I'm dependent on You. I sang that song, Jesus, hold my hand. That's the attitude to have. David was a big guy, and he said, Lord, I got to have You to show me how to fight this battle. He was a great soldier, but he said, Lord, I got Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour through this pilgrim land. I need You to protect me. I need You to look down on me as I kneel in prayer. And the song says, I hope to meet You there, but we know He will. His presence will be with us. We need Him to hold our hand. We need Him to go with us. We can't make it on our own. And so living that life of asking, listening, and obeying, that's the place that each of us needs to be each and every day in our walk with the Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your word. And Lord, help me to not be so self-sufficient. Forgive me, Lord, for my pride and self-sufficiency. Lord, forgive me for doing things my own way, my own human, weak, beggarly way. And Lord, help me to rely on You, that Your presence and Your power is evident in my home, in my work, in my life, in every capacity. Lord, we need You. We need You to hold our hand and to walk with us and to show us and to direct us and to guide us, Lord, each and every day. We can't make it on our own. We cannot survive on our own. We've got to have You as we fight these battles. Lord, help us to depend on You and trust in You. Thank You, Lord, for Your word that teaches us and guides us. In Your name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.